Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast, number 468, Seeing Over the Grass. Well, greetings this first day of fall. That's right. The sun is over the equator, and technically, some places should have equal amount of daylight and nighttime. Being a little bit further up, we don't quite have that, but the first day of fall is here. That just staggers me. Here it is, September 22nd already. Oh, man, we are just, this year's cranking by. But officially, we have gorgeous fall color. Just back from Alaska, and I can tell you the mammals up there have got really luscious winter coats. Now, they say with all the dense fur, extra amount of spider webs, and other indications that it should be a really cold and wet winter, which in the eastern neck of the woods, we would really love that water. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being brought to you by Adobe Podcast Beta, using their AI voice to clean me up as best as possible. Now, it also creates a transcript, so when you head to the blog post for the podcast, you'll see a photograph that illustrates what I'm talking about, and you can download the transcript. You can go to other locations as well as iTunes or Spotify, my preference, Amazon, YouTube, and hear the podcast as well. On Spotify, you'll see the Castro's transcript, and you'll have the ability to leave comments. All that is here because I just want to talk. I'm lonely. No, I'm here to help. So any way I can. So if you want to reach out that way, go for it. Please. I'd love to talk. Well, this past week, Mac Tahoe got released. I've heard from at least one who's very afraid of updating their phone and their Mac, making it possible into a brick. Waiting. Yeah, no, I just dove right in. Mac Tahoe, which is whatever, 26.0, whatever it is. I have it going. I have it running on my M2 and M4 machines. It's running brilliant. I like some of the customization you can do. Turned off some of the stuff that I don't need. And it was all relatively painless and easy to do. So that's pretty cool. And right now I'm staring out the window. Because the coolest news that will happen any moment is UPS will come up the drive with the new Z24-70 2.8 version 2. I can't wait for it to get in my hands. I am looking forward to giving it. I got a lot of things already lined up this week, starting tomorrow, and I'm excited. So hot stuff. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Besides getting gear to me and to, I know, many of you, these folks are there to help us as much as possible. Now, I mentioned the new Nikon ZR video body that came out, I guess, 2 weeks ago. Yep, Bedford's is your headquarters. Get that. Now, it does have some really cool features, including that 32-bit fluid audio. But what if you're not a sound expert? And when you're shooting video, sound is so important. It is so important. Well, guess what? Bedford's got sound experts there. Yes, sirree. They can help you with microphones and settings and all the things you need to build out that video system around that. Whether it's the Nikon ZR or Z9 or Z8 or Z6 III with its 240p. Yep, Bedford's is the folks that can help you all that. And coming up here shortly, it's probably going to be here tomorrow the way time's going. They've got PhotoCon with my dear friend Dixie Dixon there as the keynote speaker. Well, you go to the PhotoCon to buy your gear, you go to the store, you give them a call, or you go to the website. Just make sure to use that discount code, M-O-O-S-E. Save yourself 5% after you get done checking out. Bedfords. They are the greatest. I love the pieces. Thanks, Bedford, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. A big part of photography, a big part, is not camera settings per se. It's not camera gear per se. It's a little bit of light, a little bit of luck. I think a lot of imagination. And seeing over the grass, it was key. So there we were up on the Gannock River and more or less surrounded by, 600 to 1,000 pound bears as they go about their daily life. Now, the salmon were running. I haven't seen so many pink salmon in my life. That run was unbelievable. And, of course, the classic thing is bears are eating fish. But, they say about 90% of their diet is vegetation. And they are out there in the grasses munching. And you've probably heard me talk about it. Even seen the photographs from May when we're on the flats. And the grass is, 6, 9 inches tall or so. Maybe a foot when we leave. Well, this time of year, the grasses, and because they hadn't had any big water events to knock it down, grasses were a whole lot taller. In fact, it's a dicey time of year to be on the flats if you're near the grasses, because you can't see anything through them if it's just 2 feet away. Now, besides not being really safe, right? If you can't see the subject, it's pretty darn hard to take a photograph of it. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal. You got to be able to see it before the technology and the equipment can be effective. And, seeing through the grass is impossible. But seeing over the grass, that takes an imagination. It takes that technology and combining it with biology and that imagination to come back with the photographs. So, little backstory. So bears, grizzly bears, whether it's coastal grizzly bears or Kodiak brown bears, they have a period of time from when the cubs first venture out of the den and they're a few months old until when they're 3 or 4 years old, they spend all their time with mom. And mom teaches them everything she can about surviving in the world that she has decided is going to be her home range. Lots of things to learn about. And then comes, and I still would love to witness this, and someday, God be willing, I will see it. Mom says, get the bejiggers out of here. And it can be brutal, as in, like, she is just going to beat the bejiggers out of them, bite the jiggers and chases them, and says, get the hay out of town. And at that point, the kids become goobers, as the biologists would call them. They're kind of scared of their own shadow because, what's the bear that's kept them safe and warm and fed and protected for 3 to 4 years has all of a sudden turned into almost their worst enemy. So they're scared of their own shadows. They're scared of other bears. Now, there's always going to be exceptions. None of this is carved in stone. Believe it or not, bears don't read biology books. They don't really know the stuff that we're supposed to know. And of course, we really don't. But we generalize because it gives us a roadmap in which to work. Now, at a point in time, and you don't really know if they're males or females, unless you actually see them take a whiz, that's the most, easiest way of doing it. The cubs could be, if it's a one cub, either one, and there's two or three, there's going to be at least one male, one female. And they are siblings. And when they are with mom, they're pretty congenial, get along, look out for each other, and play. But when they leave mom, often, like I mentioned, they're scared of their own shadow, which includes their sibling. Now, I've never heard or read about how bears know a sibling is a sibling or not. But when you see certain biology going on, you kind of make some assumptions. And we had this one afternoon where we had this pair of bears in this grass. And this grass, if you look at the photograph, you can see, you know, these are 8 to 8.5 foot tall bears because they're on their hind legs. And you only can see perhaps maybe the top 2 feet of the bears. So the grass is at least, you know, 5.5 feet, 6 feet tall. So when they're just walking around on all fours, you cannot see them. They're just gone. And then they pop up. So this pair, which I believe were siblings, were just goofing. They were having a grand time, just simply goofing. There's no biological term for it. They weren't like, I don't know, you could say they were mock fighting, because it was obvious that they weren't curving their nails to cause any damage when they were biting. They weren't coming back with a mouthful of fur. There was no blood drawn. In fact, the whole thing was kind of silence. The only thing you heard was grass getting smushed under their you know, probably 600-pound weight. But photographically, people love to get the shots of the bears fighting, which is so rare. In fact, these guys were playing. And if you watch my Instagram channel, you can see a number of my my tongue-in-cheek comments in, you know, for a single click. But the actual photograph had to be seeing over the grass. Had to have an imagination. And when they pop up the first time, like a periscope, and they're up above the grass for, whole 5-7 seconds, and they go back down. Then they would move because they're wrestling and playing, and I guess they're playing tag in there. You have to figure out they're going to go up here to the right or the left where you just saw them, and then move the lens accordingly. And here's the thing. They would pop up, and you know that there's going to be a photograph there. You know it's going to be, it's just no way. It can't be a photograph because they're busy goofing. Their mouths are open, their jowls are flopping, their ears are, you know, in different positions that lend themselves to the imagination, telling a story, putting, you know, personal traits, human traits to it. And there's going to be one that's going to be, I guess you could say, the dominant one or not, which in this case they never were. They were just, and you just, because the grass was this big wall you couldn't see, you had to start seeing over the grass. Now, I was shooting with the Z8, with the drive attached, the MBN 12, and I was, or 14, I forget. What is that one for that drive? It's the 12. Oh, yeah, it's the 12. And I was in C1 focus mode, continuous high. ISO was at 1600, slight overcast, saturated light, with the 600F4 TC lens, with the 1.4 engaged, with the 2X. So I was shooting at 1680mm. And you had to do two things. And the lens is, the rig is on the Benro Mammoth tripod with the wildlife head. So you have to first see them pop up. And then you kind of get an idea which way they're going to go. Are they, you know, if they're leaning to the right or left, you'd assume gravity is going to take them that direction. And you kind of move your lens over. And here's the deal. You can't see anything. And by the time they pop up, if you're going to sit there and hit the A of on button and think you're going to get the image sharp, by the time they fall back down within a few seconds, you're kind of, you know, dreaming. Action's happening too fast. You've got these seconds. The clock is ticking. As soon as they pop up, you have to swing the lens over there, arrange the elements. You don't want too much sky with grass, and then you get them where you want them in the frame. By the time you click, if you hit an AF on button, they're already down. So you kind of have to pre-focus and have to do something that, I'm here to tell you, it's amazing. It staggers me, in fact, how few people know this very simple technique. I'll let you in on a secret. Come closer to the speakers just so you hear the secret. It's called manual focusing. Yeah, it's like manual focusing. What the heck is that? It's when you turn this ring on the lens and it manually moves the elements and it changes the focus. But if you can't see them, what good is manual focusing? Well, one of the amazing things about mirrorless is you have focus peaking. The default color is red. I have mine set to yellow personally. And what you do is you manually focus. So the grasses where you think they're going to come up, it's going to be, in this case, going to be this yellow crinkly look. When you focus peaking, you can see this band of color go away and closer to you. And so I would manually focus where I had my best guess. They would appear because I'm trying to see over the grass and watch what's going on. And I manually focus. And once that crinkle is there, I didn't touch it. Then when they came up, I just start shooting. I'd start shooting because I know if the crinklies are on the bears, I know they're tack sharp as far as the focusing goes, not necessarily because of the movement. And then if I had the luxury of time, I would hit the AF on button to double check that focus was dead tack sharp. And just to make sure that if they all of a sudden are doing that, and I lose focus because I hit the AF on button, I had put the memory lock on to where it was crinkled, so then I could hit one of the recall buttons on the lens barrel to bring it right back so I could keep on shooting so I wouldn't miss the shot. The other thing that I did was I went into the menu, into the focus tracking with lock on, which is in the A3 neighborhood, depending on the body. And in that case, I sent it to 3 and to steady, so we lock on and not be fooled by the grass, because autofocus still needs three things: contrast, strong vertical or diagonal line. And in that saturated overcast light, there wasn't really a strong contrast, just like none. But you had these strong vertical lines, the grass. So, of course, the AF system was going to what? Want to lock on to it. And in that process, I started seeing over the grass. I was able to get some shots that if I didn't have them, it didn't have that memory saved. And it's all about memories. It's all about memories because, man, the way our minds work, it doesn't take long for things to kind of get out of focus. You know, we stop losing details and all of a sudden the memory's gone. And if I didn't have these photographs, seeing over the grass and seeing these two big bears just enjoying life, I think I'd be devastated. Because the funny thing is that seeing it is really kind of rare. In a 5-day period in the field, I might see it once in 10 days. It's that kind of not a common occurrence. But this pair of siblings, they were in the same spot playing almost the same time of day, nearly 4 days in a row. I mean, it was like a gift from heaven to watch all this. And just being able to see over the grass using the imagination and technology to bring back the picture, it was just one of those moments that is like, I'm grateful to be a wildlife photographer in the field. You just gotta put a little faith in things and start seeing over the grass. You folks have a marvelous week, this first week of fall. Get out there and shoot. Share your photographs. Share your passion. And remember to make every click your story.